702 car feature.
It's 25 minutes to 3 o'clock. Gosh, what exciting news we had earlier on. But now we move on to our Tuesday conversation about cars. And we're doing things a little bit differently, but I want to frame some of the conversations we'll be touching on. Firstly, last month, Volvo made a huge announcement. They actually stunned the Geneva Motor Show. They were the talk of that particular motor show because they declared that their cars will no longer offer high speeds beyond 2020 and speeds beyond 180 kilometers per hour. And this was a move that was much talked about because you have different car makers. When you think of Germany's car makers, a long time ago, they had agreed to a voluntary limit of 250 kilometers per hour. Even though that speed limit can actually be increased by doing certain things to the car, like, you know, bringing in better tires or making other tweaks and so on. And the Volvo's own XC90 SUV has a claimed top speed of 212 kilometers per hour. And when you look at the world generally, it's only in what Germany and parts of Australia and their northern territory where drivers are actually allowed to travel at 180 kilometers or more. And which begs the question, you know, why do we even have cars that can go up to 250 kilometers per hour? So what do you think? What do you think of this limit that Volvo is proposing, that they plan to introduce it in their cars by the year 2020? I mean, every time we talk about what happens on our roads, they are people who will add that view, listeners who will call in and add the view that manufacturers must come on board, that manufacturers must do something to limit the kind of speeds that we can travel at. So they've started this conversation. They've certainly taken the lead. Volvo has taken the lead in starting this conversation about whether car makers have the right or maybe even the obligation to install technology in cars that changes their driver's behavior and to tackle things like speeding, things like intoxication or distraction. So what do you think of the debate that they've started and the direction in which they're suggesting the motor industry go in? For instance, approaching your car, giving a quick breath. And if you have had too much to drink, the car simply won't start. I mean, that's just my kind of rudimentary description of, the possibilities around how manufacturers can certainly influence our behavior around things like intoxication and speed. So what are your thoughts on 011-883-0702, 31702 for your SMSs? So that's one of the conversations. But the second conversation has to do with safety. And we'll get into that in a short while because we're joined by Greg Maroszewski, who is the MD of Volvo Cars in South Africa. It was a shock to see that some people are safer than others on the road. And that's because even in 2019, many car makers use data that's based on crash test dummies that are based on the average man. You know, and there is a problem with the average in general, but based on the average man. And so to help solve that problem and make driving equally safe for everyone, we're going to talk to Greg in a moment about what Volvo is doing as a result of the learnings that they've had from data that they've collected from real life accidents over the years. And the lines are open to you throughout 011-883-0702, 31702 for your SMSs. Conversation about innovation today and about safety of motorists and other road users. Greg, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks for inviting me.
Very bold decisions have been coming out of Volvo. But this year also marks the 60th anniversary of what's been one of the most important inventions in the history of the automotive safety, and that's the three-point safety belt, which was introduced by Volvo in 1959.
That's
correct. My maths is correct, 60 years ago. So, and you shared this with the industry and therefore saving lives.
That's correct. So, as with Volvo and the other manufacturer, we have a number of inventions, But the 3-point safety belt, which we saw right from the beginning as being the key factor in safety.
Yeah.
And Volvo is all about safety. So the decision was made already then not to patent it, but to share it with the automotive industry.
Mm.
And like you said, it has saved millions of lives.
Yes. And do we know how many? Is that hard to determine?
It's difficult to say. Over 60 years, the whole world, you know, statistics are not that great.
Yeah.
But we know it's a lot.
So what is the 3-point safety belt? Is it what we know today? What are these 3 points?
It's the 3 points that are attached to the car.
Yeah.
So it's at the shoulder.
Down to the
down
hip.
To the, on both sides of the hip.
Uh-huh.
And that is found to be the most effective. And even now, with all the technology in all the cars that we have to make the car safer, the 3-point safety belt is the first barrier to control the crashes.
Yes. And now you've launched something new, Project Ava. Equal vehicle for all is what AVA stands for. And I thought that was quite cute, you know, because people will understand in a short while, AVA, you think of a woman, you know. So what are the insights that you were able to draw from years of just studying real life accidents?
Yeah, so AVA is, like you say, a study of the last 40 odd years of real life accidents.
Mm.
So it's not just accidents that were simulated in our crash center. But we have a team of people in Gothenburg, in Sweden, going out to all the serious accidents involving Volvos. And they use those learnings and those observations to be able to develop the next generation of cars.
Yeah.
So as you mentioned earlier, we know that average dummy, average male, average female, they're all different. Male, female have different anatomies, different strengths, different parts of the body.
Mm.
So we use that data to be able to develop cars which are not safe just for the average person, but for all the people that are in our cars.
Yes. So you were finding that women were getting hurt more than men in accidents.
Sure. For example, if you take whiplash, getting hit from the back, because of the strength of the neck, there were more women injuries.
Mm-hmm.
So using the data that we've collected in the mid-90s, we've developed the whiplash protection system, which is a different way of the seat folding with the rear crash.
Mm.
The same thing with the side impact protection because of the different chest structure. There are different differences there. So we've been able to develop a system that caters for both male and female, large and small, with the different air curtains which are on the side.
Yes, and speaking of the side, in fact, one of the things you did over the years as far as improving safety on our roads was what you dubbed whips, and also coming up with a way of protecting passengers in a vehicle from side impacts, because those impacts can also cause a lot of harm.
Correct. So there we have developed not only the curtain that comes from the roof,
mm-hmm.
but also the curtain that comes out of the seat. So if you're a short person, obviously your seat goes forward. So instead of having the air curtain and the airbag into the pillar, we build it into the seat. So no matter where you are positioned in the car, you'll have the same protection from the side.
Yes, yes. And this is also something that you shared with the motor industry.
Yes, so with Avanar, all the studies that we've done over the last 40 years, all the findings are available to the public, but also to the other motor manufacturers.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea is not to just make Volvo drivers and Volvo passengers safer, but to make all the cars safer.
Yeah. Let's take this call from Sean. Don't forget the lines are open to you as you're listening in now. Put your headphones on, Greg, 011-883-0702. My guest is Greg Marosiewski, and he is the MD of Volvo Cars South Africa. And we're looking at car safety and this question, this debate that has kind of taken on a new level of interest after the Geneva Motor Show, because Volvo announced that they would impose 180 kilometers per hour cap on the speed limit of their vehicles by 2020. And they're saying surely car manufacturers have an obligation. And they have the obligation to install technologies in cars that change the driver's behavior. Things like technology that will allow us to tackle problems like speeding, intoxication, and distraction. So what do you think of that? What do you think of manufacturers taking this lead and helping us manage safety on the roads? Yes, the driver has a lot to do with it, of course. But some people have said manufacturers should take their role quite seriously. 011-883-0702-31702 for your SMSs. Sean in Sunning Hill, hello.
Hi, Zanya and Greg. I'm a huge fan of Volvo. I think there's a lot more than just a 2-point safety belt that you guys have kind of donated to the world. I think it's a very noble, beautiful thing you guys have done. As well, I think we'll only really have true safe roads once AI kind of takes over and we're using self-driving cars where humans are taken out of the picture. But My question to Greg is, you know, that stat always gets thrown around at about 70% of road deaths or accidents involve alcohol, especially in this country. And, you know, we've got a really bad drinking problem in this country. I just wanted to find out from him locally if there are any stats, if his kind of stats match up with that, and then what kind of impact he thinks alcohol actually has on road deaths, mm-hmm. if it is to that extreme.
Okay. Sean, thank you for your call. Thank you.
Thanks.
So unfortunately, there are no statistics available to that kind of extent in South Africa. Mm-hmm. But we do know from other countries like the UK, like the US, that alcohol and also distraction is a major part of the causes of accident. And I think it was in 2017, a third of the accidents with fatalities were attributed to intoxication yeah. as well as distraction.
Yeah.
So I don't think the statistics will be any lower in South Africa.
And what are the innovations as far as intoxication and driving is concerned?
Well, you mentioned that alcohol tester that we've had in our cars about 10, 15 years ago,
yeah.
where you blow into the little tube. If there's alcohol picked up, the car will not start.
Mm-hmm.
But that was the technology we had then. It's quite easy to fool, asking your friends to blow into the tube. So with the advancement in technology, what we can do now is using cameras and sensors, be able to pick up if the driver is distracted, if the driver is intoxicated, the movement right. of the eyes, the movement of the person versus how the car is driving.
Wow.
And then, depending on how severe it is, we can either reduce the speed of the car, we can try and keep it within the lane and ask the driver to behave.
Mm.
But at the extreme end, we could actually pull the car over into a safe area and just make the car stop.
Wow. So technology that would allow the car, if there all these elements in place, how severe they can measure, it can assess
correct.
Through its systems, how severely distracted, intoxicated the driver is. And as far as pulling over, that's impressive.
It is. But you know, technology allows us to do that.
Yes.
And we do have the obligation, I think, to keep the people inside the car, but also outside the car,
yeah.
as safe as possible.
Yeah.
So this will be happening in the next 3-4 years.
Mm, so that kind of technology is underway. The correct. Development is underway. One person says, are they saying that women are weaker than men? Can we just go back to that question about the insights of the data of real life accidents and what they've revealed? Because even in the material that you've shared, you talk about the severity of the injuries in different types of accidents, of course. You were able to distill insights around physically our anatomy is different between men and women, and therefore we need to develop solutions for the most vulnerable in any context.
Correct. So the strength is one of the areas, and we mentioned the neck.
So you're saying the men's neck, a man's neck, is stronger.
Also, the average man will have a stronger neck than the average woman.
Right.
So by inventing the whiplash protection system, uh-huh. it caters for all the different strengths. So we've taken, you know, what is the strength of the neck on average or below that,
uh-huh.
and try and do a chair that will absorb the impact of the rear crash, uh-huh. no matter how strong your neck is.
I see, regardless of that.
Correct.
When was that put in place?
That was mid-90s.
Mid-90s. Yeah. And what has the data revealed about accidents since then?
What we found is that once the whiplash seats were introduced into our cars, those injuries were reduced substantially. And we're yeah. not talking 10-20%. It was a high number of reduction of the injuries
mm-hmm.
to whiplash and to the neck
yes.
areas.
Yes. And the manufacturers that then went on to incorporate the insights and the research that you developed?
From Volvo side?
Yeah.
Yes, so that these were the reductions in the injuries mm. once those seats went into production.
Is there high adoption, broadly speaking, in the motor industry?
The whiplash system is patented by us.
Yeah.
So all our cars have had whiplash protection systems since the late 90s.
Mm. Let's go to Morongwa. You still have your headphones on. Fantastic. Morongwa, good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon, Azania.
Yes.
I just wanted to find out regarding, this is a question obviously for the gentleman, regarding the fact that, you know, the future that's going into these cars, they'd be able to detect from your movement and pull you over. But now my concern is, what about the safety element? Like if I'm driving from one place to another and the area in which I'm driving through is not a safe area, what happens then? Okay. Would those vehicles be able to detect high-risk areas? So that obviously you are also not put in a, you know, in a compromised position as well because of because you're intoxicated as well.
Yeah, so from an, a danger, be put in a dangerous situation and danger coming from another part in the aspect of the environment. Great question, Murunga. Thank you so, so much. And then let's go to Chris in Roodepoort, and I'll let Greg respond after the break. Chris, good afternoon.
Afternoon, everyone.
Hi.
Yes. My question is basically based on the speed limiter for the Volvo cars. If they are going to be limited electronically or are they going to be limited mechanically?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Any more thoughts on that? Do you want to expand a little bit more? Because I'll ask Greg to respond after the break.
Well, basically, we already have vehicles out there that has limiters electronically.
Yeah.
And we've seen that people are able to bypass the electronic limiters and just go on continuing on speeding.
Okay, got you. Thank you very much for that question. That's Chris in Roodepoort. Let's take a break and we'll respond to these after the break.
702 Car Feature.
Right, and this afternoon we're focusing on safety and we're looking at some of the possible innovations that could be introduced in the motor industry, especially with the agitation, with the kind of questions that are being raised by a manufacturer like Volvo. They launched a project called Project AVA, and AVA stands for Equal Vehicle for All, after they studied data from real-life accidents, and the accidents revealed that some people are safer than others on the road, and therefore it allowed them to develop technology that keeps everybody from the most vulnerable within their vehicle safer. And they're sharing this with the industry, just like they did with the three-point safety belt. And it's actually the 60th anniversary of one of the most important inventions in the history of automotive safety, and that is the seat belt as we know it now, introduced by Volvo in 1959. And joining us now is the MD of Volvo Cars South Africa. That's Greg Morosewski. So, Greg, we got two questions earlier. Murunga was concerned about the technology in the car pulling her over because, you know, the driver is distracted or intoxicated and doing so in an area that's unsafe, therefore posing another risk.
Sure. So once we get into the technology of cars being able to pull itself over, that gets into autonomous driving.
Yeah.
And with autonomous driving, we can decide whether it should be pulled over within the first 10 meters or 2 kilometers.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just from a safety perspective in terms of threat of crime, but also on the highway, you shouldn't be pulling people over. So the car will take over and put you in a safe spot.
Yes, and I was saying to you off air that, you know, this technology is there. Even applications like Google, for instance, they come up with routes, or their system, their algorithms give you routes that help you avoid what maybe have been logged as dangerous areas. So, you know, just be aware as well. You might think, why isn't it taking me through this neighborhood? Well, it depends on what's been logged about that particular area. And then the second one from Chris, so talking about speed limiters, will they be electronic or mechanical?
So they'll be electronic, but in terms of hacking it, I think our encryption technology has advanced quite a lot in the last couple of years.
Okay.
So there should be very little concern about hacking it.
Yes, yes. So that keeps you within, so the car will not go beyond that. Is that how that will go?
Yes.
And we're talking about the 180 particularly.
That's right.
Not necessarily the 120 or the 100. Or 60.
No, and you know, there's a lot of questions about why 180
yes.
kilometers per hour. So, at 180 kilometers, it's not safe to drive at speed, and very few people, if any, drive at that speed.
Mm.
So, if we can save one or two lives by limiting to 180, that's already a good job for us. But as you mentioned earlier, I think the 180 is just a discussion starter.
Yes.
And as the leaders in safety, I think we do have the obligation to at least discuss this.
Mm-hmm.
And as Volvo, we'd like to be the pioneers in that discussion.
Wow. Very interesting, and the fact that it's being shared, as you said, it's not just about Volvo drivers being safe on the roads, but all road users. You might be happy to see this one. Ingrid has sent me quite a flattering tweet for you. He says, ask Mr. Greg, SAMD of Volvo, to give you any of their cars to drive for a week. It's got all the extra features and it's a must-have car. I am loving it. She's even shared a picture just to prove that she is in a Volvo. She says she's still discovering a lot from her humble car. Well, it's good to hear that you're enjoying the drive, Ingrid. Greg, thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you.